Would you like me to do a roll call for you, Evan?
Yes, please. And I've just heard from Richard that he should be coming in any moment.
Right. I'll just see if there's somebody waiting on the Adobe. No, there isn't. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. This is the Jazz Call on Friday, the 10th of September. And on the call, we have Rafik Damak, Carlos Aguirre, Andrew Mack, Elaine Pruis, and Evan Lebevich. We have apologies from Tijani, and we have apologies from Alex Kukuru and Cheryl Langdonor. We've just had Eric Brunner Williams join us. And is there anybody on the Adobe that I have missed? Alan Greenberg is on the Adobe and not on the call. Thank you, Evan. Over to you.
By the way, it's my understanding that Alan as well as Richard Tindall will be coming in soon. I've heard from Avery, and she has said she will be coming in a little bit on the late side, but it's her intention to join us.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I guess without further ado, and since my brain is still spinning, I'm going to toss things over to you, Andrew, to go ahead with what you've been talking about.
Okay, super. Let me just pull it up real quick. Elaine says she did not get it. Did anybody else get it that was from the... it reads as sent in my outbox.
When did you send it?
Oh, 10 minutes ago. And my apologies for that. I have the same issue that you did about missing the day.
Okay.
If you'd like, it's short enough, I could just put it in the chat.
Yeah, it's not in my inbox, so...
Okay.
So it may not have gotten...
If there's no objection, I will just go ahead and post it in... Can I post it in the notes section or just in the chat?
Post it in the chat for now, and we'll take care of it. I guess it'll show up. If it's short as you're saying, then just paste it in.
Let's see if this works. Okay, guys. Did that come through?
Yes, you can see here, Andrew.
Yeah, and I don't know if anyone else can see it. I just tried at least temporarily raising the chat window.
Yeah, that worked, on mine at least.
Okay, so let's take a moment for everybody to have a look at that.
Would it be helpful for me to read it out loud for people who aren't on Adobe, if there are any?
Actually, yes, please go ahead.
Okay, Please, this is all open for bending and shaping. But on the bundling discussion, based on our desire to come forward with a consensus formula that both promotes more access in underserved languages and scripts and yet also avoids some of the possible unintended consequences / gaming opportunities noted by Eric, Richard, and others, Richard and I worked up the following formulation. That in place of bundled support for IDN build-outs, the World Working Group would recommend a simplified direct package of cost reductions to incentivize IDN build-out in underserved scripts for all applicants, whether national or international, NGO or private, on the following basis. For scripts with 1 to 10 million native users, a 60% discount from the typical price for a new GTLD. For scripts with 10 to 50 million native users, a 40% discount. For scripts with 50 to 100 million native users, a 20% discount. No discount is recommended for scripts with more than 100 million users, as they are considered large enough to constitute a strong market in the near term, and thus support would be better focused on other script groups. And then something got cut off. But that was the general gist of it. We were trying to take everybody's suggestions into account and still get us where bundling was intended to get us.
Okay. All right. That's actually incredibly detailed compared to what I thought you were going to do, but that's fine. Rafik, you've got your hand up. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew, for the work done, but I just have some question. Why the I'd say that you selected this number, like 50 to 100 million native users, because with that, for example, for my language, I no applicant can apply for Arabic script IDM. And to get it, we get less discount. But the problem, like for Arabic language, how we can talk about native user? Because Arabic languages, there are more than 20 countries using that language. How we will calculate for that? The applicant, but if it's a community, and I'm not sure how we will calculate this number to know the discount.
Okay. It's a really good question, and I have an imperfect answer for you if you'd like. But would it be better to take all the questions that and then try and address them?
I'll leave it to you. I've got another question or comment from Eric. Do you want?
Sure.
Well, okay, Andrew, what's your preference? You want to tackle them one at a time, or just wait till you hear everything and then address them all at once?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that Richard will join sometime soon, too, because we discussed this and he had some good thoughts on it. But why don't we go ahead with the questions, and I'll do my very best. Again, this is an imperfect attempt to come up with some sort of structure that we could actually put into place.
Yes.
We rejected a number of more complex options.
And I did hear from Richard that he did say that he would be dialing in shortly because the other call is just, as I understand it, wrapping up. So, okay, Eric, go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate Rafiq's point. I don't know if we would be defining Arabic to be modern standard Arabic, which is spoken nowhere, or Maghrebian Arabic or Maghreshian Arabic or any language which isn't Arabic, which actually uses Arabic script, which includes Jawi, the Jawi script in Indonesia, Farsi and Dari in Pakistan, Afghanistan and Iran. And the distinction between language and script is not one to one. So, as I look at this, I'm not sure if we're speaking about scripts or languages. And then again, to Rafiq's point, I'm not sure what we mean when we say Arabic.
Okay.
The second thing, or actually the first thought I had is, have you tested this against the hypothetical Indic script problem? That is an NGO in India that is attempting to deliver services to persons in need, meeting our definition for an applicant that is in need, but is attempting to do so in more than just one of the official scripts and official languages of India, but in the 11 official scripts and 22 official languages of India, and possibly two or three more as we consider the adjacent nation states which have overlying in which the community of interest is included. I know India has a large population, but I don't know what this means when we actually start talking about the individual languages and or scripts and the number of users for each of the languages or scripts.
Okay, that's a good question. I can answer that one more. I could try and make an effort at these. I'll be looking forward to a little bit of Richard's thoughts, but if you'd like, I can give a try at these.
By all means.
Okay. Your first question about the Indian languages. We're working off of an imperfect of an imperfect starting point in the sense that I went around and looked for different places on the web where we might get some sort of a reliable estimate of the number of language of script users, and you're right that there is some there's some question as to who is a script user versus who is a language user, and we want to try and steer clear of that as much as possible. If we get to the level of just language users, I think we have all kinds of unintended consequences, and it may be impossible to make this work. In terms of script users, the source that I consulted, which was the Wikipedia page that had two or three different references on it, and we might come up with a better source, but for the 50 to 100 million user groups, there were three Indian languages, Marathi, Telugu, and Punjabi. In the 50 to 100 million user group, there were also three Indian languages, Gujarati, Kannada, and Oriya. There may be one or two more of which I am unaware, and I believe that there may be also a few in the 1 to 10 million or the less than 10 million group. So if one were to attempt to reach out to all of those, since we've walked away from the idea of bundling, then that person would have the ability to apply a 20% discount for some of the languages, a 40% discount for others, and a 60% discount for others still. So to that question, they would still be able to get to those different discounts. They just get to them in a disaggregated way. To your question about language and script, this is a really good question, and we spent a lot of time talking about it yesterday, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. Our goal would be to try to use what are the most common definitions. If you look at it, Arabic is seen as a block in typical ICANN terms over the course of years. Urdu and Farsi script are fairly similar in that they use a Perso-Arabic alphabet from what I have been able to glean. I'm not a linguist in this space at all, but that's the impression that I have. If Farsi and Urdu were taken as separate languages, then they would fall respectively in the 10 to 50 million group for Farsi and the 50 to 100 million group for Urdu based on the things that we've seen online. If they are considered as one group, then they'd still fall just barely under the 100 million user group. So that gets to the second question, whether I think both Richard and I were hoping that we could find an elegant way of categorization that would permit that we got as many languages from emerging markets and emerging areas with less historic web presence in. And so we're trying to find the right way to categorize these, the right language, so that such that these might be included. In terms of Arabic, I know that there are a number of different ways of using a number of different pieces of the way that Arabic is expressed, and I know that it varies distinctly between Morocco and the Gulf and all of that. I believe for our purposes that ICANN would consider all Arabic script to be Arabic script. But again, I'm open to differences. What we're trying to avoid is a situation where very, very, very small changes in the language get you very, very small like changes in the way that the language is written get you a separate space, because then you have all kinds of unintended consequences with a number of languages, including a number of European languages, which do not need support, which would then be able to argue for support and things like that. Is that making sense?
Well, I've just done the numbers while you've been talking. And if we assume that there is an application that is intended to deliver services to a polite way to say it, well, just to poor people. So the hypothetical is a applicant which meets our criteria for need, which is intending to deliver services to a class of people which is not defined by one script or one territorial jurisdiction, but rather to a material condition such as poverty or reproductive health, something that's human. So if there were 25 different languages that if this NGO or hypothetical NGO thought that it was necessary to support, that is to offer a label in 25 distinct languages, if they were all met the most generous of the discounts, this would cost them just under $1 million to apply. If it met the intermediate discount of 60%, then it would cost them just under $3 million to apply. And if the languages were large, and of course there are a large number of poor people, so I suspect large is the correct answer, they would be at just under $4 million to apply. So when we're thinking of an applicant as being a single language, which is reasonable, and a single script for imitations of ASCII, the problem of one language or one label per applicant doesn't appear. But when we started addressing applicants who exist in plural linguistic areas, we're clearly creating an economic problem that exists nowhere else. And I don't see that the continuing to count an applicant in the language, each label as a distinct application, and then offering a discount is the better possible choice, because this really does add up to some very large numbers very quickly.
So question for you then, Eric, is because I took some of your comments and the comments of Richard's comments about being able to game the system and other things like that, and yet our desire to not discriminate against potential applicants. That's one of the reasons why we walked away from the idea of bundling and tried to disaggregate them. That was Richard's recommendation. I'm sorry he's not on the call now. Are you suggesting that in cases where that there may be cases where some sort of a combined approach might make sense, some sort of a bundling approach, plus the ability to go on a one-by-one basis?
Well,
I'm open to that. I'm just trying to make us get us something we can use.
As soon as we say that the applicant must meet the needs criteria, if we haven't eliminated gaming already, we have a problem whether we're talking about one language or many languages. So my assumption is when we test for needs, we have eliminated gaming. And we have an applicant then whose attempt to deliver service is defined not by a single label, which is what we have as a standard up to the present moment, but is clearly not going to be useful when we deliver service to areas of the world which are more complex linguistically than Western Europe and North America. So I'm not concerned about eliminating gaming once we pass the need threshold. What I am concerned is that we're not identifying the applicant's need as being the definition of what the applicant is applying for, the resources that the applicant needs to accomplish the mission that they're setting out to do, but that we're continuing to keep the applicant in sort of a mental confinement that really dates from the ASCII model.
Sorry, perhaps someone else can help. I'm not following exactly.
Okay.
Well, I'm suggesting that if an applicant says that they need two languages to do their job, they're probably correct. And we shouldn't be saying, oh, well, that's two applications. That's one application that requires two distinct labels in order to deliver the service that the applicant intends to deliver to the user community. And since they're an applicant that is defined as being in need, we do not need to worry about there being a possibility of gaming the system. They've already demonstrated sufficient need to meet whatever support we have to offer. So this is distinct from the IDN variance question, where, for instance, in simplified and traditional Chinese, in order to make a meaningful label, it really does require several different characters, one simplified and the traditional equivalent, forming potentially a large number of labels just for a single multi-character string of characters.
Eric, I don't mean to interject, but I have to. I mean, I think we're getting into a level of real technical detail that's going far beyond the intent of what we're trying to do here. Andrew has put forward something, and by the way, Andrew, you have the luxury now of Richard having joined the call. So he
well, it's good to have other people who can help explain our thought process, since it was, you know,
also
not just mine.
But also, I want to try and keep this out of the esoteric and try and deal with the absolute practical needs behind the issue you're trying to address. And Eric, I want to ask you to try and keep to specifics You know, I mean, we can deal with some of the minutiae. I mean, it really does seem like minutiae right now to me at this level, and I'm really glad that we can deal with it at a level of saying, does the proposal that Richard and Andrew have put together, does it address the issues of bundling that we've been talking about? Does it offer an assistance to new GTLD applicants? And I really want to try and keep it on that high a level because we don't have the luxury of getting that deep in the details, at least from what I can see. Rafik, you've had your hand up for an awful long time. You said something in the chat. Did you have something to add?
Okay. I'm not going technically sure about IDN and Arabic script, etc., but just maybe if we maybe what's raise the problem here that we mix between the script itself and the language, because like an Arabic script, it's used by other language. So if maybe if we define that threshold for the community, I mean the possible user or speakers for that community, because if we keep those thresholds the whole, and I think nobody can, there won't be any applicant for Arabic script who can apply for assistance. But if we define that possible community which use that script with that threshold, and we can keep those thresholds. Maybe it's not clear, but we can.
Rafik, I'm not quite sure I followed you.
Okay. So if, for example, we take the example of Arabic language or Arabic script, for Arabic language, there is 300, almost 300 million users or speakers.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are working, we define the applicant for communities. So those community can really more smaller than the whole population of Arabic speaker. So we define the user of script in relation to that community. If, for example, there is community A of possible user of that script that applicant won't apply of maybe from 1 to 10 million, it make more sense than to have those big number of the speakers using that script. So we define more in regard to that community, not to the script itself. Not I like to say that because Arabic script that maybe there are 300 millions of Arabic speaker and maybe more of user of that script. But just for that community, what is the number of people from that this specific community which applicant want to provide that string? How many of them use that script? So,
I mean, Andrew, is there a way that you propose that this doesn't get gamed by the distinction between a script and a language?
I'm gonna drop off in a quick second because I want to hear, because Richard and I talked about this and he had some good ideas. This is one of the reasons why I think it's very difficult to do in practice what Rafik is suggesting, even though I understand and agree that in a perfect world that's the way we might wish to go. I think it would be too easy to define the community so narrowly. You know, the way that ASCII and the way that ICANN historically has used scripts, from my understanding, and the way the UN uses scripts, it's not on a community basis. It's just on a simple script basis. The goal was to come up as much as possible with a rule that would take us out of the judgment call basis. You know, of judgment call business. And so, if we have a better formulation, I'm very open to it. I think if we do it just on the basis of self-defined communities, everyone's going to have the maximum. Every application will be for the maximum amount and of discount, and that is in and of itself is a kind of gaming. So I don't know the answer.
Richard, do you have something to add? Welcome to the call.
Thanks, yeah. I'm not going to delve into the specifics just yet, but I think rather I'll just maybe take your advice, Evan, here, and maybe try and simplify this, if I can, discussion at a higher level. I think at the end of the day, this proposal is not about supporting needy applicants per se, but it's rather promoting the development of underserved scripts on the internet, and an argument could be made that that's helping needy registrants, if you like, as opposed necessarily to needy applicants. But I think for this group, the very fundamental question is, are people endorsing the notion that it's a good thing for us to recommend this sort of incentive for script diversity, whether or not the applicant meets a needy requirement? I think if people on the group, and I may have misunderstood Eric, but I think Eric makes an argument that we shouldn't be endorsing or incenting applicants who aren't needy. But if the group doesn't agree, you know, with that fundamental principle that this should apply to anyone, and not just needy, then I don't know it's worth digging into the details, because that's really, to me, the first and most important question that we've got to address.
Well, Richard, let me ask you this question in return. If it's something that's to apply to everyone and not just to specific kinds of applicants in a certain kind of need, is that not beyond what we're doing in this group, in scope?
Evan,
general policy of how, you know, we got into this very early on about, you know, are we trying to lower the cost for everybody, or are we just trying, you know, are we specifically in this group trying to address a specific need? Andrew, Richard, take either of you.
Yes, I'll pick this up. Evan, you and I had this conversation when we were talking about it in the context of bundling.
Yeah.
And we had a long conversation about it, and we agreed that this was within scope because part of our goal was to get more scripts in the route from these underserved communities. The purpose of getting the applicants out there is to support these underserved communities, and that this is one viable way of doing it, and one way that, in theory at least, should be relatively easy to identify and relatively easy to administer. Assuming that the board goes forward with it. I don't think any of that has changed. The only difference is that, I mean, and the language communities benefit by having more of their content on the web. There's no question. Tijani and I have discussed this. Alex and I have discussed this. You and I have discussed this. My sense is that this is an issue that that we've had, you know, plenty of chance to talk about, and I don't see any reason why this falls out of scope now when it didn't fall out of scope before. The goal is to get more people interested and more people in, and to, you know, give all of these different groups access to the parts of commerce, the web that they don't now have in their own languages. And so I think that falls very much within our guidelines.
Okay. Before I give the floor back to Eric, does anybody else here want to comment in? Andrew was saying, you know, the proposers are saying, can we get some kind of consensus on whether or not this thing is even generally a good idea? I was under the supposition that it was. If anybody does not think this is a good idea, please do an X mark in your Adobe Connect. I wanted to try and get an idea of what level of consensus we have, at least on this call. If there are people that do not think that this kind of proposal, I mean, don't matter the details, but even in concept, if you don't believe we should be tackling this, please put up an X mark in the Adobe Connect now so I can get an idea. Right now, I'm not seeing that. So I'm going to go under the assumption, at least for now, Andrew, that this is something that is worth proceeding with.
Great. And I think Richard and I are both very open to, you know, playing with the formulations, and also to Rafiq's point of how we determine who fits into which group. We made what I think is a heroic effort to try to come up with something to start with. And, you know, if there are better formulations or better sources for that for the categorization, we're open to that.
Okay,
Richard. If that's okay for me to speak on your behalf, Richard.
Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, just to put in context my my overall views on this, that my concern from the start has been that it could be gamed in ways that would benefit very well-funded applicants. And so, what Andrew's been doing is trying to find ways to minimize or eliminate that sort of gaming. And I think he's come up with something that satisfies my concern that it's not going to be, used extensively for large corporations to get, to get their own brand and script at a cheap rate in a variety of places. So sort of the concern I have that would be abused has been removed. As to whether it's in scope or out scope of the whole group, I'm just sort of comfortable either way.
Okay. Okay, Eric, you've got the floor again. I mean, has any of what you've heard in the last few minutes addressed your concerns? Eric? Okay. All right, Eric's either not with us or in chat or... okay, Rafiq, go ahead.
Okay, I think we have maybe two different definitions of gaming. That for gaming that well-funded applicants want to apply for the bundled, for many IDN stream. So maybe we can already to prohibit this, that we say that it's... because first we select the applicant, a needy applicant. So I don't think that we have a problem of gaming from well-funded applicant that which want to apply for many IDN. And then we can focus on the definition of the community and for that just to focus on the definition of TD community, for which the applicant want to apply different scripts, and also that I don't think that there are many community which need many scripts. Maybe many of them just need to apply for an ASCII a string and just one IDN.
Okay, does anybody else? Okay, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, Rafiq, we just kind of talked about this. I mean, the way that Richard and I and others have put it forward, this would be open to anyone because our end goal is to get more scripts in and to get more content built out in those scripts. So, I mean, I think that the initial intention of all of these things, when it was initially bundling and now in this new formulation, is to make that open to anyone, because our end goal is to get more content out. It wouldn't necessarily be there wouldn't be a needs test on this basis. This would be the only part that it wouldn't, in part because we're not really offering any support except for the price reduction. My recommendation is that we focus that kind of effort on the first two baskets of support.
Okay. Okay. Is there any other comment on this? If not, we will move on to other things. We can certainly keep going on this on the mailing list. You guys have done a great job on this, and Andrew, I know this has been very near and dear to you, and I think you've done a phenomenal job in making bringing the issue forward in a way that is both palatable and that people get the idea of why you've been so interested in this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We're working hard to get a compromise that everyone will be happy with.
And I think we're there. So what we're going to do now, Glenn, is there any other unfinished business from the last call that we need to deal with?
Not that I know of, Evan. As you saw, I put in that little line in the addenda for you. I hope I didn't make too much of a mess of it all over.
Okay. Now, in terms of, all right. Now, okay. Now, right now we have on, at least I have on my screen, we're at the bottom of the comments list. I think we went through all the comments, did we not, at the end of the last call? I think we went through all of them. So, at this point in time, do we need to revisit? What parts of this do we need to revisit? Forgive me, I'm at a little bit of a loss without Avery here. Like I say, my brain is a bit fried between 2 days and just coming off of, along with Richard and a few others, a fairly intense 90-minute call even just before this. So my brain is hurting. Would somebody else here like to help me out on what uncovered ground we still need to deal with before coming back and trying to nail down some wording? Okay. All right. So if that's the case, should we be going back to the top and seeing what we need to do with this? I mean, the intention is to try and come out with some final wording. And let's see. Okay. Oh, dead air during a conference call. So I'm trying to go back into the document and seeing what holes are left to be refilled. I mean, does anybody have any specific other comments about other components of the document that we have? Richard, go ahead.
Where are we at on the issue of prioritization of the standards?
I could have sworn that at the last call that somebody, and it might have been Avery, was charged with trying to come up with some proposed wording. I mean, that's definitely one of the holes that we can come back and try and deal with. We did not resolve it. We essentially tried to say, we have some categories. Do we want to just leave it open to any that meets it, or do we say that some are more important than others? Part of the problem is we don't have Tijani on the call, and he was one of the most vociferous advocates of one of those positions. So any discussion we have right now is probably not going to have one of its strongest proponents. So We did come up with the various criteria, but we definitely did not resolve the issue of whether or not we were comfortable with prioritizing them or simply listing them as various criteria that an application must meet. Richard, did you want to say something about that?
Go ahead and finish your thought there.
Oh, you go ahead.
Yeah, so I agree with you. We probably need to carry on the call before we dig into this deeply. Let me make sure I understand the opposition to the notion of prioritizing. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Can you guys hear me okay?
I'm hearing you breaking up, though.
Yeah, how about now? Is that clear?
I'm still hearing the breaking up.
Okay, I'll just sit back for a second.
Now I can't hear you at all.
Yeah, how about now? Is that any clearer?
You're okay, but about the last 3 seconds of what you say get broken up.
Let me do this. Let me put my thought into the chat room.
Well, that I heard all of. Anyway, go ahead and say your piece, and I'll let you know how much comes through.
Okay, I just wanted to see my understanding of the objection to prioritizing is accurate or not, concern with prioritizing. Is the fundamental concern that by the very act of prioritizing the categories, that we're inviting some other parties to somehow limit the amount of support that's provided. Is that the fundamental opposition to doing it?
Again, I guess without Tijani on this call, I don't know if the people who are best in a position to answer that are here. My personal view on this is that we've already indicated that the financial need criteria sort of is paramount. But after that, we've got a number of different criteria, and we really haven't made a preference between them. I think, and without speaking for Tijani, I think the main objection is beyond having demonstrated the need, saying that, you know, there are certain categories or certain contexts of needing a GTLD should not necessarily be given preference over others, so long as an applicant has met the needs criteria. Does that answer your question?
Sort of. I mean, to my mind, we're saying we recommend all of these people should receive a certain level of support. We're also saying that in the event that there is more need than there is support, then we think these ones should go first.
That may be at the heart of some of the problem, in that do we want to recognize that there is a finite limit, or do we say that everyone who demonstrates that they have the need but also have a legitimate string in any of the criteria we're talking about ought to be considered equally? Do we make an assumption that the pool will allow for all of them? Or do we actually have a queue that says if there's limited money, these criteria have to go to the queue before those?
Right, exactly. And so it seems to me that we don't know if there is limited or unlimited support. Common sense would tend to indicate, and historical experience, that funds are always limited. But we don't know. But I don't know why prioritizing, you know, changes that. It just, to me, prioritizing just says, in case, in the contingency that there is limited support, we think that these ones should go first. So to my mind, it's not saying whether there is or isn't. It's just like, just in case, you know, if we need $10 and only 9 is available, then this is our sequence of prioritization. So it seems to me the only logical reason not to prioritize is the belief that in doing so, you're somehow affecting the likelihood that it will end up being 9 as opposed to 10.
Well, let me sort of play devil's advocate with you here, because one of the issues that we're dealing with is we are not going under the assumption that there is somehow a bank account or an accounting issue that puts aside a certain amount of money for needy applicants. Everything we've been talking about so far has been dealing with cost reductions and certain benefits and cost reductions, as opposed to, you know, here's a pool of money from which you are going to be able to pay for things without having actually changed any of the prices. So does that have a bearing on anything? The fact that we're not talking about here is a specific pool of money and dealing with the fact that, you know, all of the worthy applicants that are going to meet a criteria will have reduced costs. In effect, ICANN either is giving out money or it's taking in less revenue. But in terms of the way they're perceived, in terms of, you know, here's a pool of money as opposed to here's a process that reduces the costs for those that qualify, how does that factor into what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think I understand the distinction you're making, but at the end of the day, this is just, you know, funny. So it's coming from somewhere, and then if ICANN's going to decide to reduce fees, for example, they're going to have to make judgments about, you know, what can we afford in the scheme of our budget and how many likely applicants are we going to get here. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's possible that the outcome of that could be that there's a finite amount of cost reduction available from ICANN. Now, I don't know the budgetary, too much budgetary risk in my mind for them simply saying, okay, we agree everyone meets this category. We don't know how many fee everyone gets a reduced fee, because if the cost recovery model shows that those people are paying less than the actual cost of processing their applications, then ICANN's going to be in a financial hole. So I just think common sense just tells me that there is a possibility that there's going to be limits on what's available.
Okay. Again, like I say, without Tijani here, you're not really going to get the kind of response that probably your comments merit. So I'm not exactly sure what you want to do with that. We may just for the next meeting when he is here, or either that, or we can. I mean, if you want to try and address it and have to resolve it here, we can. I just don't think it would be particularly fair.
No, I agree with you. I think it was useful just to have a little exchange there, and we should have a more detailed discussion with Tijani on.
Hi, Avery. Welcome to the call.
Why, sorry, I missed so much. One of the things I have yet to listen to obviously all the conversations, but it strikes me, given where we are, and one of the things I did offer Evan was to spend a little bit of time over the weekend trying to construct some language that basically shows the two viewpoints that are being discussed. I know some people have contributed language, but to try and bring things down so that we've got something to send, or even if it's just, you know, here's the 90% that everybody on, and here's some of the topics where there's still a discussion, with these being the two prevalent viewpoints. So,
Avery, is there you can dial in under another number, or can you?
There's possibly some way I could get somebody to call me a local Lithuanian number.
Avery, send me the number on an email or something. Well, I'll tell you what.
Okay, I will.
If you can give the number to the operator right now. Patricia, are you listening?
Sure. Let me find the number. Okay, I'll deal with it. Okay, sorry. I'll shut up now.
No, it's okay, Avery. It's just that there's a very loud hum that only comes on as you're talking.
Okay, if you
sorry,
send me the number,
yes,
we'll call out to you, Avery.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to recall to myself what other issues besides prioritization were very, very divided within the group. And okay. Sorry. So is the call out to Avery going okay right now? I mean, one of the things that is really strange about this is that we had that African intervention into the group that happened during the Nairobi meeting. One of the things that they said is they definitely did want us to give some prioritization to geographical location. And yet Tijani is arguing against the prioritization. So this is one thing that we ought to deal with, because we've been specifically asked in some of the recommendations to consider the kind of prioritization you're talking about, Richard. All right. Anyway, because as I'm going through and looking at some of the blue lines in the document right now, especially I am on page 19. Is everybody able to scroll on their own, or are you locked into what I'm doing right now?
Right now we're locked.
We're locked in.
Okay, so you're all seeing the blue line part that's on the in the agenda right now? Yeah, we're seeing it.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, you now have, sorry, I've just turned it off, so you should have the ability right now to all go on your own. But what I'm calling,
yeah, we do.
I'm calling attention right now to I'm calling attention right now to the wording that is around lines 226 and down. Okay. All right. So again, sorry, I really apologize for this, but Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, the substance of that is not to say give Africa a priority. It says allow African for-profit organizations to be eligible.
Right. And so we reached a consensus that that should be okay. Richard, go ahead.
I'm sorry, could you repeat your last sentence there? We reached what?
I said it appeared, I believe that we'd already reached consensus that this process not be limited to nonprofits, that it's potential
right.
So that a for-profit body in an emerging economy would still need the help of this process.
Let me just play that back and understand it. What we're saying that a million-dollar corporation that happens to be in Africa and wants to get .web should be eligible for some sort of support?
Go ahead. Andrew,
my Adobe shut off, so I was trying to raise my hand. But the short answer is that wasn't where Richard. I don't think that was where we were going. I think that for the first two kinds of support that we were talking about, we agreed that that if they didn't pass the need criteria, it wouldn't really matter. And one of the reasons I think why we walked away from a specific geographical focus was because we had gone to this idea of a need-based filter on the front end. So that, for example, though Africa may have a really primary need, there may be other regions of the world that have a similar kind of need. But for sure, if it's an entity that doesn't meet the need criteria, then the first two baskets of support wouldn't be open to them. That's the way I understood it.
Okay. So a needy for-profit in an economically needy for-profit in Africa would be eligible, but I thought that was already the case. In the other category, had we limited it to only nonprofits? I don't recall.
I don't think there's any time. I think we walked away from the idea of limiting it to only nonprofits early on in our conversation.
That was my recollection as well.
So this African statement seems to be just already accommodated by the categories that we've created.
Yeah, it wasn't clear enough to everyone.
If I might, the only part of the African statement that I think wasn't accommodated completely by our comments and our work so far is a specific focus on one regional area. And I think that we all agreed that while we recognize the need in the African context, that favoring one region over another was both politically unwise and probably also not very fair. I mean, realistically, since there are other places in the world that have some similar qualifications, some similar conditions.
Okay, so in a nutshell, the letter could be interpreted as seeking a priority for African-based applicants, and we're saying that's not appropriate for the reasons you explained.
My understanding was that where we ended up was that we recognize the unique characteristics of Africa, but that we weren't going to single out one geographical region for support on the basis only of its geography. Is that what everybody remembers?
So that seems quite sensible to me.
I'm not sure I remember it, but it seems reasonable.
Okay. Avery, do you have anything to add to this?
No, except that I think that we did have a conversation earlier, and while I could be misquoting, I believe that Tijani was in support of us not necessarily prioritizing Africa. But certainly when we had the discussion, there was never a feeling in the group that we should prioritize one geography. But it was understood why the Afralo would say, you know, would basically need to say we need to be in a priority position. So perhaps we need to find some language, not in terms of the report, but in terms of responding this to this, that sort of acknowledges the special need of Africa, but also, you know, indicating how we need to keep that as an open issue in terms and not limit it geographically because of fairness, et cetera. And also point to the fact that with need as the primary criteria, that, you know, their need and need as a criteria should contribute to responding to their call or something like that.
Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, if there were unlimited pools of money, then you don't have to prioritize. If there are not unlimited pools of money, but it's limited, then need should be the overriding factor. But recognize that assuming we're talking about sources of funding other than just ICANN, the funders have priorities. So the African Development Bank is not going to fund a country in Southeast Asia. The Asian Development Bank is not going to fund Africa, and the World Bank has its own priorities and will honor those. So since an awful lot of the world donors, in fact, are specifically interested in Africa these days, Africa implicitly has priority among those sources, and I don't think we need to refine those things anymore. The natural way of the world in finding money is going to favor Africa to some extent anyway. But I don't think it's our job to say Africa is more needy for a new GTLD for in a potential profit-making venture than Indonesia is. I don't think that's our job.
This is Avery. It may actually just be something that needs to be handled in the text where we, you know, explain what you just said in terms of when it's ICANN processing some level of assistance, whether it's financial or practical or in kind, then, you know, there's no differentiation. But, of course, if we bring in outside, you know, funders, they may all have their own priorities that we'll have to work with or something like that.
I think you just said it perfectly if someone captured it.
It's on the recording, or I'll write it later to say, I figure I have some penance and some dues to pay by having missed so much this week. So I was going to listen to the two recordings, look at the documents, since we didn't have Carla here to, you know, sort of work on the documents, take a pass through them and get them out to people so that when we talk next week, and again, I'm not sure I'll make that meeting, but at least I'll have contributed something to what's going on. So, Evan had asked if I could take over at this point because he's been carrying the whole load, but I'm not clearly quite sure what remains to be discussed in this last 20 minutes in terms of what issues are still open that haven't been covered. And perhaps one of the things I can borrow from what Chuck's been doing in the MAPO group when I'm doing this writing is actually to collect what issues we still have that aren't, you know, covered to people's satisfaction, or people believe there's still some more discussion that's needed. Was there anything still on today's agenda that hadn't been hit yet? everybody's talking at once? Or does everybody believe that you've gone through now all the comments and that there's enough information on the calls and in various notes to respond to them all? Is that a correct statement?
Aubrey, this is Andrew.
Yes.
Maybe it would be worthwhile. It sounds like we're kind of at a stopping point, which may be fine. And I know everybody's pooped who's on this earlier call. Maybe it would be worthwhile to just recap what are, you know, who we're expecting what from, and then go on.
Okay. That works for me, and especially I'd like to know that. I certainly can't recap it. So perhaps put your hand up if you've got something that's on your plate, and then I can call and I can type it down to make sure I've got it. Because I certainly don't know to call on you all. So who wants to go first? Andrew, what do you have on your plate?
I think we're pretty good with the piece that we were working on in terms of underserved scripts. And so I'm going to talk offline with Rafiq to get a little bit more clarity around his ideas for the community. He had some ideas about how to define the script groups slightly differently. So I'm going to follow up with him on that and then put together some, with Richard's help, some final text. So that's on my side.
Okay, when do you think you'll have that text so that I can fold it into? Because until
sure.
Carla gets back, I'll take the scribing and folding into the document task. So when do you think you can send me something that I can fold in?
I appreciate that. Rafiq pinged me and said he's going to be at IGF, and so I will be at IGF, and so I will try and link up with him there and get something, you know.
Okay, I'll be here too. So.
Okay. See you
in
there.
In fact, I'm already here. I've been here a week. Okay, so that's that. Who else? I heard somebody else in the background while I was speaking. I missed that. Who else has something else that they need to deliver into the document at the moment? Eric, did you have anything? Alan?
Actually, Glenn,
I don't think I am ordered anything at this point. I owe anything at this point.
Okay.
Glenn, if we go into the record from the meeting earlier this week, I could swear that there were other people besides Andrew and Richard that were going to take something away for Wordsmith.
Okay, well, we can check. I'm going to try and listen to the last call, you know, over the next day, so I'll have a clue after that. Does anybody remember whether Tijani had anything that he was offering, or did he already offer all the text he needed to offer? Okay. Because what I'd like to do is see whether I can, by going through this and focusing more on the document than the replies to questions, see whether we can't have a document that people can look at that is something that can be sent on to the board with a cover note saying, this is where we are now, and, you know, some of the open points for discussion are marked throughout the document. Because next week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is kind of the deadline for getting them something like that. Though if we're a couple days late, I'm sure if I beg properly, they'll take it into account. So I'm hoping we can get there. And that's why I'm going to put some work in on the document to see. So I guess it's just if anybody has anything to contribute in writing, please make sure you send it out in the next real soon. Anything else we need to cover today, or should I just have come in the call in time to tell you thanks for keeping it going? Okay, Rafiq.
Avery, do you mean that we can send the documents like snapshot and we will continue discussing after that?
Excuse me, I didn't understand.
I'm just trying to understand what you said. I understand that you're
okay.
A deadline.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is, I hear echo. is that we should try to deliver something to the board for their receipt, for their retreat, that basically covers where we are now. It could almost be considered snapshot two, in terms of, I think that we've reached consensus on a lot of stuff. I think there's a couple issues, and you guys may have reached some more consensus this week that I've missed. There's a couple issues where there isn't quite consensus yet. As long as we can find a description of those issues that satisfies the various positions in the issue, I think we can give the board something coherent for them to consider. And then I think we also just keep working, you know, and perhaps we will have to put together a note to our chartering organization saying, hey, we just did a snapshot. Of course, I would send the snapshot to both of those too, you know, after we all agreed that this was a snapshot to go. And then we would keep working to try and finish and close out our final issues.
So, Avery, you mean that we can send the snapshot without passing by our shouting groups?
I believe so. In terms of, we have two organizations that chartered us. We have boards that requested that this be done. I see no person, unless somebody in this group thinks this is something we shouldn't do, or unless one of my two liaisons say, no. I think we could send the same report to all three of them and saying, this is where we are. Have fun with it.
Okay. Just about you mentioned the charter. I think that we fixed the problem of the missed items. So I forgot to send the email to Carlos, but we fixed it as the last GNSO conf call, the issue of the missed item 5.
Fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that, and I'm sure Tijani will be glad to hear that as well. Okay. So does anybody here object to the fact that we try to put together a snapshot too and get it to the board in time for them to consider at their retreat?
No.
Richard, I see your hand up.
Yeah, on the contrary of objecting, I think it's a very good idea for us to do that. I think the board workshop is probably going to make some quite important decisions about the new TLD program. So I think it's quite important for our issues on the table at the same time they're considering it.
Okay, thanks. And I see Andrew with the check. And so, yeah, that's sort of the task.
I put two checks
taking.
If I could.
Okay, thanks. I think that's the task that I'm trying to take up for myself this weekend, in addition to whatever else I have planned this weekend, is to listen to the calls and see if I can't take the document and update it to that snapshot, and then whoever can make the call and are on the list even, we can make sure that the snapshot is agreeable to people, that it doesn't prejudice things one way or another, that it doesn't say that we have consensus where we don't, et cetera, and then send it on with a cover note that says, this is a snapshot, we're getting close, we're not quite there yet, but, you know, we thought it was important that you know where we're at. Anything else that we should cover at this? And I really apologize, but the IGF comes but once a week, once a year, and I really couldn't not be doing what I'm doing. Okay. So anything else, Evan, that should be covered? I mean, I feel really weird jumping in and sort of saying, okay, we're done for today. I'll send out a note on the list after this meeting reminding anybody that's not here, you know, to please get me input and telling them the same thing that I just said about me trying to gather together a snapshot too for the board, and that will continue working after that. I won't try to update the answers to the comments that this weekend. I'm just going to focus on the document itself. When Carla gets back, we can ask Carla to, you know, listen to the calls and update the comments with what all's been said, and then we'll have to go through them again to make sure it says the right thing. Anything else? Evan, if I covered what needed to be covered?
Absolutely.
Okay, and I very much thank you as the co-chair for taking up the slack in my absence. I very much appreciate it. And I thank you all. And the call ends 10 minutes early.
Terrific.
What a kick. Okay, thanks a lot, folks.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.